Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, August 1st, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The Fed cuts rates but clouds the path for future policy.
When you look at the explanations, you come away with a puzzle.
The yield curve flattens and the dollar strengthens after remarks from Jay Powell.
Up next, we get a policy decision from the Bank of England.
It was Joe Biden versus everybody else at last night's debate. And Osama bin Laden's son is killed. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets won their sixth in a row. They beat the White Sox in Chicago. The Yankees beat Arizona but came up empty at baseball's trade deadline.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are little changed this morning after yesterday's 1% drop for the S&P 500. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures again little changed. Dow futures up 11, NASDAQ futures up 1, the DAX in Germany's down 0.1%, CAC in Paris up 0.2%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down about 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 12/32nds, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.25% or 72 cents at $57.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.5% or $21.10 at $14.1670 an ounce. The euro 1.1049 against the dollar and the yen at 109.07. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates for the first time in a decade, but warning against a lengthy easing cycle. The dollar is stronger after Chairman Jerome Powell struggled to signal future Fed policy.
The committee is really thinking of this as a way of adjusting policy to a somewhat more accommodative stance to ensure against downside risks, to provide support to the economy, and then to support inflation. So we do think it'll serve all of those goals. But again, we're thinking of it as essentially in the nature of a mid-cycle adjustment to policy.
When pushed on the path for rates, Powell left the door open for a move in either direction.
Long U.S. business cycles have sometimes involved this kind of event where the Fed will stop hiking, in fact, will cut, and then we'll go back to hiking. Again, I don't know whether that'll happen or here. It doesn't seem like something that's particularly likely, frankly, but we don't know that.
And now traders are pulling back on expectations for more easing from the Fed. David Kotok is Chief Investment Officer at Cumberland Advisors.
When you look at the explanations, you come away with a puzzle, and the confusion is introduced into market prices. Markets have been pricing a lot more than we now can reasonably expect in monetary easing.
President Trump is also weighing in on Fed policy. He says a quarter point cut wasn't enough and that Chairman Powell, quote, let us down.
U.S. stocks fell following that Fed decision and stocks in Asia followed suit. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Losses were less than those seen in the United States. Japanese shares in particular helped by the yen's decline. The Nikkei 225 closed higher by 0.1%. Chinese stocks fell as the Fed cut raises a timing question as to when or if the PBOC will follow suit with a cut to its 7-day reverse repo rate. The CSI 300 closing down 0.8% lower. Stocks in Hong Kong also continued to fall, and the MSCI Hong Kong Index is actually on track for its longest losing streak in 3 years on increasing signs the local economy is under pressure. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Now, our next central bank decision comes from the Bank of England at 7 a.m. Wall Street time. The BOE also issues its final economic forecast before October's Brexit deadline. Bloomberg's Caroline Hepker joins us live from London with a preview. Caroline, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan and Karen. So the Bank of England is expected to hold interest rates at 0.75%, but the falling pound poses a challenge for Governor Mark Carney. Sterling has weakened 4% on a trade-weighted basis since May, and gilt yields have dropped too. Markets are pricing in rate cuts, not the gradual tightening stance of the MPC. That's because a cliff-edge Brexit looks increasingly possible under the new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. The bank has based its forecasts on a smooth and orderly exit from the EU, so the bank and markets look glaringly at odds. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. Meantime, factories in the UK are stuck in the worst slump in 6 years. UK manufacturing shrank for a third month in July, with markets PMI reading coming in at 48.
And manufacturing in the euro area also shrank at the start of the third quarter. It is the sixth straight month of contraction, with eurozone manufacturing PMI falling to 46.5 in July.
We have more bank earnings out of Europe this morning, beginning with Société Générale. The French lender outperformed most peers in equities trading and boosted its capital. CEO Frédéric Oudéa tells us SocGen's largest restructuring in years is starting to take shape.
We are restructuring, so we have, of course, the impact of the activities we've decided to stop. But when I compared with our peers, I think it's a pretty decent performance, and we are growing compared with first quarter.
Results from SocGen's equity business and fixed income trading beat estimates, though both measures fell from last year. Shares are up 4% in Paris.
Earnings at Standard Chartered topped estimates, with pre-tax profit coming in better than expected. Chief Financial Officer Andy Halford says cost cuts are also boosting results.
Costs actually were lower on a reported basis than last year by 3%. If you do it on constant currency, they were flat with last year. So the costs are definitely well under control.
At the same time, the outlook for Standard Chartered is clouded by the U.S.-China trade war. The lender earns the bulk of its income from Asia. Right now, shares are up nearly 3.5% in London.
Shares of Barclays are higher by 2% after the firm's investment bank outperformed its peers. Fees from investment banking slipped 1%, beating forecasts for an 11% decline. Barclays boosted gains in fixed income, currency, and commodities trading.
On the energy front, Royal Dutch Shell is reporting earnings that fell short of estimates. CEO Ben van Beurden tells us the slowing global economy weighed heavily on results.
What we are seeing at the moment, of course, is, yes, a weakening of the macro environment, a slowdown, a trade war. All these effects actually have a direct effect on the growth of oil demand.
Earnings are down across all of Shell's businesses. Shares are lower by a nearly 5% in Amsterdam.
And here in the U.S., shares of Fitbit are down almost 17% in early trading. The company issued a forecast that fell short of estimates after posting a loss of 14 cents a share in the second quarter. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and that's time to check the latest world and national news. For that, we say good morning to Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Good morning, Nathan. Night two of the Democratic debates in Detroit. Joe Biden brought the fight to Kamala Harris, questioning her plan to phase in a version of Medicare for All over 10 years.
What happens in the meantime?
Harris tried to counterattack.
You do nothing to hold the insurance companies to task.
And healthcare has become the lead issue in the Democratic debates. More from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Moderators immediately moved toward Kamala Harris' new plan.
As many as 10 million people will not have access to healthcare. And in 2019 in America, for a Democrat to be running for president with a plan that does not cover everyone, I think is without excuse.
And then to Biden for response.
Senators had several plans so far. And anytime someone tells you you're going to get something good in 10 years, you should wonder why it takes 10 years. If you notice, there's no talk about the fact that the plan in 10 years will cost $3 trillion. You will lose your employer-based insurance.
Biden saying that if the party does not get this right, it will hand Donald Trump 4 more years. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Osama bin Laden's son, Hamza bin Laden, who was viewed as an eventual heir to the leadership of Al-Qaeda and had repeatedly threatened to attack the United States, has been killed. Two American officials cited by the New York Times say he died in a military strike, but there were a few details. The Times says the U.S. government played a role in the operation, but it was not clear how. Search teams are looking for the pilot of a Navy jet that crashed in Death Valley National Park Wednesday. Captain Jim Bates is with the U.S. Navy.
We are currently in an active state of looking for the pilot. We've got folks out there from our installation, China Lake, the National Park Service, and the local authorities.
Seven people were injured when that F-18 Super Hornet fighter plane crashed about 60 yards away from them in a spot known to aviation enthusiasts as Star Wars Canyon. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is stressing the importance of cooperation with the U.S. following talks with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. It comes one day after the latest negotiations in Shanghai yielded incremental signs of progress in the trade war. A Chinese warship collided with a Taiwanese freighter last night, damaging the bulk carrier. Taiwan's Coast Guard says the collision occurred about 20 nautical miles southeast of Taiwan-controlled Kinmen Island off China's southeast coast. The collision comes as China increases pressure on Taiwan ahead of the Democratic Islands presidential elections in January. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Yankee general manager Brian Cashman almost always active just before the trade deadline. Most expected him to add a pitcher yesterday. He said he worked the phones but could not find a trade partner, which is okay by manager Aaron Boone.
Just in there celebrating a win with those guys and looking around the room and know we've got everything we need to be a championship club. And that doesn't change. I have total faith in Brian and their staff in that they're going to always do what's best for this organization.
Boone said Yankees won their game. They were up early. They fell behind. They sat through a rain delay. They reclaimed the lead, and then they held on at the end. They won 7-5, their first win after three losses to Arizona. Zach Greinke started for the Diamondbacks during the rain delay. He got traded, and what was far and away the biggest move of the day, he goes to the Houston Astros, improving what was already the best front-end starting rotation in baseball. Greinke now joining Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. The Astros sent to Arizona three top prospects. Mets were also quiet yesterday. Their GM, Brody Van Wagenaar.
There were lots of teams interested. There were a lot of teams interested in trying to acquire pitching, especially of this magnitude. But at the end of the day, we weren't going to move key pieces to our club unless we felt like we were going to be better positioned as we look at the long-term outlook of the team and the franchise.
Mets won again in Chicago. Three runs in the ninth inning to beat the White Sox 4-2. Their sixth win in a row. They're still in fourth place, but they're 4.5 games out for a wild card spot. From hockey, the Rangers bought out the last 2 years of defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk's contract. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Futures moving higher after yesterday's 1% drop for the S&P 500. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is extending in advance after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned against expecting a lengthy U.S. monetary easing cycle. European stocks are rising. S&P futures were little changed. They're now seeing some strength. And most shares retreated in Asia. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are now up about 5 points. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nd, yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 66 cents at $57.93 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.33% or $19.50 to $14.18.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1048 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2117. And the yen, 109.03. Today, we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. And at 10, a look at manufacturing from the Institute for Supply Management. And Verizon, General Motors, and Yum! Brands among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. In last night's Democratic presidential debate, a more engaged Joe Biden took punches from his Democratic rivals, but he proved he could also counterpunch on health care, immigration, and criminal justice. U.S. intelligence officials say the son of the former al-Qaeda leader, Osama bin Laden, is dead, killed in a military strike. And the U.K. government doubling spending on a no-deal Brexit preparation. It's the latest sign new Prime Minister Boris Johnson is serious about leaving the European Union. Sports, the Mets win their sixth straight. The Yankees beat Arizona. Elsewhere, the Red Sox fall to Tampa Bay. The Giants win. The Nationals and A's lose. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Stephen Gallo is our guest this morning. He's head of European FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets. And Karen mentioned we are seeing the dollar extending gains this morning after the Fed's hawkish cut. How did you take the messaging from Chairman Powell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I think very simply, the message that came from Jerome Powell yesterday and the Fed's official communique was the U.S. economy is in pretty good shape, and we're cutting rates mainly because the rest of the world is in worse shape. We don't know exactly where the economy in the U.S. or how it will be performing 1 year from now, but the signs we've been seeing outside of the latest data suggest that if anything, growth could reaccelerate a little bit in Q3. So, for the time being, this is an insurance Fed rate cut, but largely because of global factors, not U.S. domestic ones.
Now, what does that mean for the dollar going forward? Are we going to see king dollar the next few months here?
Well, it's certainly not a bad thing for the dollar. What the Fed did yesterday, there is really a dearth of viable or alternatives to the dollar right now. There's a very limited number of currencies that investors want to own, and any inward investment into those countries, into those currencies, for the most part, will probably be hedged. So it's a combination of hedged inflows or just a buyer's strike altogether. So by default, that means, as you say, king dollar. But given the rest of the world issues, you also have to imagine, in fact, we do, and we bake this into our forecasts for the major currencies, that central banks other than the Fed will ultimately end up easing more aggressively. I have to point to the Eurozone in this situation as well. In particular, the Eurozone's fiscal maneuverability is very limited because, of course, it's a collection of 19 countries or so, roughly 20 countries. So it's hard for there to be an activist fiscal policy that can take the place of ECB policy. So it looks increasingly like, once again, the burden of supporting growth, if you want to call it that, or just buying the Eurozone more time to survive, it's probably the actual way we should be putting it, it's going to fall on the European Central Bank.
So does that mean that we could see even further bifurcation between the U.S. economy and the rest of the global economy?
I think the risks of that happening are more elevated now than they have been in this cycle. This is not to say that the Fed is not going to react to slow the pace of dollar strength. There will be other major reserve holders, other central banks that will act to slow the pace of dollar strength. That is certainly going to happen. And of course, you will have the odd comment or tweet from Donald Trump regarding weakness in other currencies against the U.S. dollar. He loves to scapegoat, and he's very good at using world events to his advantage. So he will do that, and that will create periodic squeezes on the part of long dollar positions, and it will cause the dollar to sell off. But I am very much in doubt that the Trump White House actually wants a much weaker U.S. dollar. If the dollar continues to do well, because U.S. fundamentals are sound and the U.S. is the destination for a lot of inward foreign investment, well, then why not let the currency appreciate versus the euro and versus the Chinese renminbi, for instance?
Now, last minute here, the Bank of England decision in the face of the possibility of no-deal Brexit. How much further does the pound have to fall at this point?
We think it's going to go below 120 versus the dollar eventually. What I can say to you is that based on past experience and past knowledge, the Bank of England is not really an interventionist central bank. So in other words, if the economy requires a weaker exchange rate, the Bank of England probably won't step in aggressively to stop that. What they will do is try to manage the pace of the decline, and some of that will probably come out today in the rate decision. But ultimately, if we have a global economic shock, if we have a Brexit-related shock or rising political risk in the UK, the Bank of England will probably be very inclined to let sterling do the heavy lifting of supporting growth and attracting inward investment.
Stephen Gallo, always good talking to you. Really appreciate it. Stephen Gallo is head of European FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets. And ahead of the Bank of England decision, cable is at 1.2112. That's the British pound against the dollar. Weaker on the session. So still above a 121 handle. And the euro is at 1.1048 against the dollar. The futures contracts pointing to a higher open after yesterday's drop on the Fed. S&P futures are higher by almost 5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The dollar is stronger after the Federal Reserve cut interest rates for the first time in a decade, and Chairman Jerome Powell warned against expecting a lengthy easing cycle.
The committee is really thinking of this as a way of adjusting policy to a somewhat more accommodative stance, essentially in the nature of a mid-cycle adjustment to policy.
Now, two Fed officials dissented in yesterday's decision, and traders are now pulling back on expectations for more cuts. Bloomberg market strategist David Finnerty.
Obviously, the doves were disappointed, but if you look at market pricing, they're still pricing in 1.5 rate cuts by the end of January next year. So the market's still on the dovish sentiment. But I think to back that up, you need some data, really, economic data. And I think the ISM today and particularly the payrolls tomorrow, both of those are very key. I think the biggest factor that the doves would really be benefiting from would be an escalation of the U.S.-China trade war. Because I think that really would put nerves amongst the Fed.
And we get another policy decision today coming from the Bank of England in about 90 minutes. Daniela Russell is head of UK rate strategy at HSBC.
The domestic growth picture now has softened a bit. Obviously, the external backdrop has deteriorated and we've got a new prime minister. So the key focus is really going to be on what the Bank of England makes of the shift in outlook as a result of that, and also what it makes of the increased likelihood of a no-deal Brexit.
Ahead of the BOE decision, we got some key factory data. Manufacturing in the UK shrank for a third month in July, with markets PMI reading coming in at 48.
Meantime, manufacturing in the euro area shrank for a sixth month at the start of the third quarter, dragged down by Germany's worst slump in 7 years.
The biggest deal ever for the London Stock Exchange is now official. LSE has agreed to pay $27 billion for financial data and trading provider Refinitiv.
On the earnings front, shares of Barclays are up more than 2%. Investment banking fees fell much less than expected at the British bank.
Shares of Société Générale are up 4.5%. The French lender boosted its capital strength and outperformed most rivals in equities trading.
And Royal Dutch Shell shares are down more than 4%. Earnings fell short of estimates as a slowing in global economy hit everything from natural gas to chemicals. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 40, NASDAQ futures up about 16, the DAX in Germany's up 0.25%, 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 2.04%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.89%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% at $57.85 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. In last night's Democratic debate, it was Joe Biden against everyone else. After being grilled by Kirsten Gillibrand about gender equality, Biden snapped back.
You came to Syracuse University with me and said it was wonderful. I'm passionate about the concern making sure women are treated equally. I don't know what's happened except that you're now running for president.
Biden took a number of swipes from his fellow candidates, including this from Senator Kamala Harris, who pointed out he had recanted his former support for the Hyde Amendment.
Why did it take so long until you were running for president to change your position on the Hyde Amendment?
Because there was not full federal funding for all reproductive services prior to this point.
Biden abandoned his pledge never to speak ill of a fellow Democrat, fiercely battling charges in the second debate that he's a relic of the past. One of the sons of al-Qaeda founder Osama bin Laden reportedly has been killed. Hamza bin Laden was viewed as an eventual heir to the leadership of the terror organization. American officials tell the New York Times the U.S. played a role in the operation that killed him, but other details weren't available. Chinese forces building on Hong Kong's border is not accidental. It implies the possibility of military force by Beijing against protesters. That's according to U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton.
China made a commitment in the joint Sino-British declaration to give Hong Kong 50 years of separate status after the handover. And, you know, if China doesn't honor its international commitments, it sends a signal for other possible commitments they might make in the future.
Speaking to Fox Business, Bolton also says China is failing on its responsibilities. The Trump administration just ratcheted up the pressure again on Iran, imposing sanctions against its top diplomat. That story from Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
Interviewed by Bloomberg at the beginning of July, Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif seemed to hint that showing some respect could help diffuse tensions.
Iranians are just like Americans. They want to live with dignity. They want to live in peace.
Penalizing the top diplomat of another nation is unusual and provocative, diminishing prospects for a diplomatic solution. While Zarif is being sanctioned for acting on behalf of Ayatollah Khamenei to implement his, quote, reckless agenda, just a week ago, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo dismissed his role in setting policy.
Foreign Minister Zarif is no more in charge of what's going on in Iran than a man in the moon.
The action is symbolic and won't prevent him from traveling to the United Nations for official business. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom Barrack, the investor and longtime friend of President Trump, was an early advocate of strengthening ties between the White House and Saudi Arabia. Now his firm, Colony Capital, is doing business with the kingdom's sovereign wealth fund. Barrack had pursued business across the Middle East for decades, but he hadn't done a deal with a massive Saudi fund. That changed after Trump's 2016 presidential run. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Zach Greinke began his day pitching for Arizona at the stadium. He gave up an early two-run homer to the Yankees' Mike Tauchman, but the Diamondbacks had a 3-2 lead going to a sixth-inning rain delay. When the skies cleared, Greinke was no longer on the mound. He had been traded to the Houston Astros. Yanks came back. Austin Romine, two-run shot. They led 7-3, ninth inning. Held on to win 7-5. They're off today. They start a four-game series with the Red Sox tomorrow in the Bronx. But the Yanks' hopes of winning the pennant were dealt the blow with the Greinke trade and the Yanks being unable to pull a trade before the deadline. They couldn't get Greinke. He has a no-trade clause. He was not interested in coming to New York. So while the Yanks are left with a starting rotation without anyone with an ERA under 4, the Astros now have three guys, Greinke, Justin Verlander, and Garrett Cole, whose ERAs are all under 3. It makes Houston big favorites in the playoffs. In Chicago, the Mets scored three times in the ninth inning, won their sixth in a row, 4-2 over the White Sox. Todd Frazier's hit snapped a one-all tie. Michael Conforto drove in two more. The Mets did not trade any pitchers, and Mickey Callaway, whose job seemed in jeopardy not long ago, now thinking playoffs.
Very exciting. You know, the guys are clicking, we're going to make a run at this thing. I think with this rotation, anything's possible. So let's go out there every day and put up zeros and score some runs and get it done.
We'll go for a sweep this afternoon. Zach Wheeler, still a Met, will start. Newly acquired Marcus Stroman will make his Met debut tomorrow. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Elizabeth Warren's radical plan to beat President Trump at his own game. Also in this week's issue, why it's getting harder to fire people for using marijuana. Rebecca Greenfield wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
States are realizing that it's unfair or maybe wrong or unjust to fire someone if they're using medical marijuana to treat an illness, a legitimate illness, in their off hours.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report from Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, cash-strapped New Jersey Transit, known for service issues that have frustrated thousands of commuters, is awarding higher pay to senior staff as part of what it calls a turnaround strategy. The bus and rail agency says it's acting to streamline its administration and fight a talent drain. Renters who live alone in some popular Brooklyn neighborhoods like Prospect Heights, Brooklyn Heights, Fort Greene, and Cobble Hill now require a yearly salary of at least $100,000 to make ends meet, according to a StreetEZ study. Manhattan's Lower East Side also entered the six-figure club. A group of Connecticut lawmakers has crafted a wide-ranging compromise that could lead to a tribal casino for Bridgeport and legalized sports betting. The proposed Connecticut Jobs and Revenue Act requires tribes to spend a minimum of $100 million on an entertainment and gambling facility. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, the FAA says it welcomes the scrutiny it's facing for approving Boeing's embattled 737 MAX.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Shell reported second quarter earnings that fell short of expectations on the slowing global economy.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the billions of pounds Boris Johnson's government is adding to funds set aside to prepare for a no-deal Brexit.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we are looking at quarterly results from Verizon Communications.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors reports earnings before the opening bell.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Also watching this, Qualcomm out with a downbeat sales forecast indicating lingering weakness in smartphone demand. Chipmaker expects a decline in sales of as much as 26% from a year ago. Qualcomm says phone makers have largely given up on releasing new high-end phones based on current technology, and consumers are waiting for the debut of 5G services. And the stock is down 5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, the Bank of England faces a policy decision in the face of a possible no-deal Brexit. We check in with Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth next.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Kara in Moscow. The dollar extending in advance after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned against expecting a lengthy U.S. monetary easing cycle. European stocks are rising, so are U.S. stock index futures. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 6 points. Dow futures up 56. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up a third of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 10/32, yield 2.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.88%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 76 cents at $57.82 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.4% or $19.80 to $14.18 an ounce. The euro 1.1040 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2111 and the yen 109.08. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. After being caught off guard by attacks in the June debate, Joe Biden last night repeatedly took refuge in the mantle of his former running mate, President Obama. Osama bin Laden's son Hamza bin Laden is dead, according to two American officials. The New York Times reports he was killed in a military strike in which the U.S. had a role. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton says Chinese forces building on the Hong Kong border implies the possibility of military force. Sports, the Mets win their sixth straight. The Yankees beat Arizona. Elsewhere, the Red Sox fall to Tampa Bay. The Giants win. The Nationals and A's both lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion. Informed perspectives and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It is just before 5:49 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. And we're joined live from our London Bureau by Bloomberg Opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth, ahead of the Bank of England policy decision in just a little more than an hour from now. Marcus, good morning. The Bank of England might like to raise rates, but there's the pound.
Which is making a new low. Good morning, by the way. That's making a new low as we speak, or it was when I just stepped off my desk, pushing the 121 level. Look, it's getting down to the low we've seen since the referendum vote, and this puts some pressure on the government, but it definitely puts pressure on the Bank of England in certain ways to work out how a weaker currency is going to affect its outlook. Is this weaker currency making it less pressure for them to ever turn around and cut rates? I don't think so. The UK economy doesn't work quite how certain other economies work. But the interesting thing is, at the moment in the UK, we've got a government which is just volt fast to going into fiscal stimulus mode, and yet it's got the only central bank of all the big ones anyway, which is in effectively in hiking mode, even though, you know, we all know that it's almost certainly unlikely it's going to be able to do so with the Brexit outlook. So one of these things is, you know, we've seen the government shift. What does that mean, how the Bank of England alters its monetary policy? And I think they won't know, none of us know, but they'll try and explain away, I think, that their logic still is to hike rates, you know, at some point in the never-never, because they see a weaker currency in pushing up import prices, which does affect very much the UK economy. It's heavily reliant on imports, and increasingly so through this whole Brexit sort of inventory build protection mode that we're in. And then, they see wages rising at a stronger pace, and it's going to affect their inflation outlook, both of those things. So I think we're not going to see them dropping this hiking overall bias. They may temper it, and then they're going to have to start explaining to us what on earth they're going to do if a no-deal Brexit happens. Last time round, when the vote came through in June 2016, it was followed by the August 2016 Bank of England meeting. They threw everything at it. They not just cut rates, they did a whole load more QE, and they did this thing called term funding, which essentially is really, really pushing the banks to lend money. They overdid it. They spent the whole last 2-3 years trying to unwind this. So they are in this awful situation where they overdid it on the prospect last time. The reality, which is probably about a hitters, means that they have got to react, but they are going to be less certain of what the right things to do are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big question is, how much control can the Bank of England have over policy when it has the prospect of crashing out of the European Union hanging over its head?
Crashing out, that immortal term. The point is it may or may not crash. I don't think it will under any circumstances, in the sense that I think there'll be a lot of side deals. And that's, I think, really what's going on between the government and the EU at the moment, is trying to work out some mitigation from both sides behind the scenes. But, I pity the central banker here, because they've got a fiscal policy which is about to radically change, which would logically normally lead to a more hawkish stance than them. But the prospect of being a demand vacuum and a real horror show on the economy, and they don't know what will happen, and they don't know how the economy will react. But they've got to lay out some form of game plan to keep the markets happy. And equally, they do have a financial stability role here, which is an unquantifiable one, unlike their explicit inflation goal. But they do have a requirement to keep financial markets stable, and that presumably includes the currency. I wonder if they touch on that today. There'll certainly be questions about it. But, you know, you really have to feel for Mark Carney here. He's got an enviable task to sort of answer questions on a bunch of things where he has absolutely no idea where the cards are going to fall.
I guess that raises the question. I mean, is it possible for Carney to offer some kind of clarity with so much uncertainty hanging over the UK right now?
Yeah, well, I think he's done a pretty good job on certain things. The things he can control, or at least he has some form of control over, which is the financial system, banking markets and regulation and in a sense making sure capital buffers are there and all the various other sort of important things that he has done some good work on in his time at the bank. And I think in that sense, this is not going to be a global financial crisis type fallout, but it's going to be a real economy, corporate and household fallout. And that's... he has a number of new tools, which he didn't have a few years back, which is not just rate cuts, but as I said, things like this term funding scheme, counter-cyclical capital buffers, and all sorts of other acronyms, but they can employ to, as well as QE and different types of QE. So, and I think he'll make that clear.
Marcus Ashworth, Bloomberg Opinion columnist, thank you for this. And again, the Bank of England decision coming at 7 a.m. Wall Street time, just a little more than an hour from now. We'll have full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. And you can read Marcus's column on this and more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or at OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. It's 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The Justice Department has approved Nexstar Media Group's $4.1 billion acquisition of Tribune Media, paving the way for Nexstar to become one of the largest U.S. local TV station owners. A group of U.S. senators has reintroduced a bill that would create a larger safety net for online businesses and ban retroactive taxes post-Wayfair. And the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office will require e-filing for nearly all trademark applications as of October 5th. This is part of the agency's effort to be as paperless and green as possible.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now another legal news. We're watching the Supreme Court wrapped up its first term with a strengthening conservative majority, and now Chief Justice John Roberts is emerging as the primary swing vote, handing high-profile legal wins to both conservatives and liberals. For more on this development, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson.
Kim, Chief Justice John Roberts dealt President Trump a huge loss at the end of the term, blocking him from putting a citizenship question on the 2020 census, but a huge win last week, allowing him to start building the border wall with diverted Pentagon funds. What's the dynamic between the president and the chief?
Well, as you just laid out, June, it's pretty complicated. So there have been some suggestions beyond just these rulings that there's a strained relationship between the president and the chief justice. And we saw that most remarkably late last year when the chief justice issued a very rare statement that seemed to rebuke the president's characterization of a judge who had recently ruled against his administration as an Obama judge. The chief justice said there are no Obama judges or Bush judges, just people trying to do the right thing. So there is some indications that, you know, that relationship is strained. But as you mentioned, you know, the Chief Justice has dealt the administration some pretty big wins, most notably in the travel ban and recently on the border wall. So it's a relationship that we'll have to keep our eye on. I think a lot of the tension, you know, really stems from the Chief Justice's reputation as an institutionalist, you know, somebody who's deeply concerned with the perception of federal courts and a real desire to leave them out of most of the political hotbeds that we see happening all around us.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson speaking with June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 6.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up 25. And the 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.04%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.